From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
What do people back home in Peoria think of this?
Well, I've never been an old crusty white guy. And when I ran for office, well, I'm different. I came to Congress at 27.
Right.
I'm not gonna. When I take a personal vacation, I don't go sit on the beach. I go do active things. And so I'm also not gonna live in a cave. And so when I post an Instagram photo of me with my friends, as Taylor Swift said, haters are gonna hate.
So is this what this is about?
I have tried to balance being a young congressman and doing things differently and more open with maintaining a level of seriousness on the issues of the day. I know some days I have failed at this. I would just say I take my responsibilities very seriously. I do my best to represent the district and make decisions that I think are in the best interest of my district, whether it be how I get around and travel and make sure that I can get to as many places as possible when I'm back in the district. But I take my compliance obligations very seriously.
From interior decorating to mileage reimbursement, the fall of Peoria Congressman Aaron Schock, the 18th District Republican, announced he's leaving his post at the end of the month following some high-profile reports about his spending and business dealings. We heard him talking with ABC News earlier this year, answering questions about a Downton Abbey-inspired decorating scheme at his Capitol office. More recently, Schock has had to defend travel expenses and mileage reimbursement, and now he's stepping down March 31st. We'll be talking about that on State Week. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Joining us is Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS and Illinois Public Radio. Brian Mackey with WUIS and Illinois Issues. And our guest this week, joining us from Peoria, Chris Kjærgaard, the political reporter for the Peoria Journal-Star. Chris, thanks for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Bill.
And interestingly enough, where were you when Aaron Schock resigned?
I was actually in his outer office in Washington, D.C., where I was doing reporting for about a day and a half and had a scheduled meeting with him about 15 minutes after the news started to leak out. Obviously, that meeting was not kept.
And now he may be living in a cave. He said he wasn't living in a cave earlier, but now nobody's hearing from him. He stepped down. I'm going to ask you first, and I assume the answer to this will be yes. Were you surprised?
I was completely caught off guard by it. Barely 6 days before, when I had asked him if he would be considering resignation at all, following some calls from Republicans to do so, he shook it off at that point and suggested that it wasn't on his mind anywhere.
And so what are we to take from all of this? Kind of give us the story as you see it from your desk in Peoria and when you're in Washington.
Well, I think the biggest concern with all of this has been coming since the investigations first turned up some of the mileage and other travel irregularities, both in his reporting on the campaign side and on the official side with those expenditures. And I think we're seeing even today with the news coming out on Friday that some of his staff have been subpoenaed and other people close with him have been subpoenaed, that's coming to pass, that the federal prosecutors are starting to look into whether those irregularities were criminal.
This was kind of a quick downfall in the last month or two.
It really was, coming after 6 years and 1 month in office with barely a hint of any serious problems to the last 6 weeks and 1 day before his resignation, during which everything sort of evolved and became a very fast dripping faucet of leaks from people to the media, both locally within the 18th district and to Washington, D.C. based reporters about questions. There was a whole lot of opposition research that was dumped at once and reporters pointed in the right direction to do, frankly, some very interesting data-driven reporting to uncover the material.
Yeah, I thought maybe it'd be worth backing up a little bit and pointing out, you know, how this got started and where that data-driven reporting got its launching point. This was actually, there was a Washington Post-style reporter, not a political reporter, who was tipped off about the decorating scheme in the congressman's Washington office. I take it you got to see that firsthand. It was, at the time, it was called a Downton Abbey-inspired decorating scheme. We saw pictures on TV of, you know, deep blood red walls with, you know, old sepia toned portraits of U.S. presidents. What was that like?
It was very interesting, though certainly not as gaudy as I had initially thought based on some of the initial reporting on it. It may have been toned down a little by the time I saw it last week or this week in comparison to how it was originally decorated, but certainly very red, very bold, very eye-catching, and those portraits
calling attention to oneself, frankly.
Oh, it certainly does. Though it was interesting, the doors to the office, not just the inner office but the outer office, were closed. The only ones in that entire corridor that were shut off, and part of that likely was the resignation. The other part was they've had a lot of people coming in, ducking into the office, trying to take selfies in the Downton Abbey office of people just wanting a tourist memory of it. It's eye-catching. The pheasant feathers are certainly a punchline, as is the glass-topped table held up by eagles sitting there next to a blood-red couch and some armchairs. Though, to be fair to Shock, he also does have some pictures from the Congressional Art Competition in display next to his desk.
I mean, because the issue isn't, to me, the decor of an office. Fine. I'm sure that there are plenty, whereas they may not have red walls, you want your office to look nice. It is a congressional office. Good that it looks decent instead of sloppy. Fine. But the issue is, of course, that it was not paid for by him personally, and you can't get those sort of favors when you're a congressperson, and there's no need. That's what's so stunning about all of this, and when the hubris kind of comes in. This is somebody whose own reporting shows that he's, you know, a millionaire at a young age, could afford. If you want a nice office, go ahead and pay for it, but don't make the taxpayers and further even perhaps your campaign contributors. That is where the problem comes in, and where I think we've seen very little sympathy, really, for Congressman Schock. I mean, in these sort of situations, oftentimes, even with Illinois' George Ryan, there are people that say, you know, I mean, it's sad, but hey, he worked hard for a lot of years. You kind of feel bad for the guy. There's very little of that, because it appears as if he had, you know, when you get comments like, I'm not an old crusty right guy like the rest of these people that I work with, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a lot of people rising to try and hold you up in your times of hardship.
Now, nobody asked me for campaign advice, but had he been asking me, I would have had him say that he was trying to recreate the old Jumer's castle in Peoria before it left us, and it was just hearkening back to home.
The thing that I found interesting was how quickly this morphed from, okay, here's a guy who's a congressman from a fairly conservative district who behaves like a frat boy on spring break and sends Instagrams of himself in the Andes and on the beach, and he's got this well-toned body and all of this nonsense that has nothing to do with a congressman. So you say to yourself, okay, the guy's a little goofy. He needs some grown-up to tell him, come on now, Aaron, you're in Congress. You know, you're no longer in college. And it's morphed into something more serious, where it turns out that from the allegations, unfortunately, soon-to-be ex-Congressman Schock basically is a crook. And the feds are not just looking at the fact that he may have jimmied some of his travel expenses. They're looking at some of the business deals that he was involved in back in Peoria, as I understand it. So he's got real problems.
Yeah, well, let's talk about those business deals real fast. Chris, if you can just kind of summarize what a couple of those are involving the home sales and things.
There are questions there going all the way through his real estate dealings, and he tried to make a name for himself early as, hey, I've got a head for business and finance, both with his degree, his early work before even getting into politics at the age of 19. But there are questions that have been raised over the sale of a spec home that he built, which was financed by a bank that the president of which was a campaign contributor of his, was built alongside someone who was a campaign contributor of his, and was purchased by someone who was a campaign contributor of his. He had done work for a developer of a shopping facility in town, had been hired as a consultant there, and had worked on pushing legislation that would earmark money for helping build a long-sought trail in Peoria. But of course, this fellow who hired him, also a campaign contributor of his, a number of other deals like that have been questioned as to whether or not he sort of got favorable treatment in becoming involved in the deal in the first place, and whether there was any payback for being involved in those deals, anything he was doing to help out those contributors.
To get back to an earlier question and some comments, you were mentioning some of the research and the unique reporting. Tell us about the AP's reporting on some of those photos, and then also we'll talk about that opposition research or what these materials.
The AP's reporting was really quite impressive in that they went ahead and took a look at the locations where those Instagram photos that he was posting, or some of them, were taken, and matched that up with travel for private jets that he had used, owned in some cases by political donors of his, to help confirm where he was traveling and raise the questions of, what was he doing? Official business? Was he doing campaign business, or was he just off living the high life at the time? And some of those things where you get a really cool picture, it doesn't look like there's a lot of really cool governing going on.
And then following that, there were other leaks of material. What's your speculation on where that was coming from?
I certainly don't speak from any position of authority on that, but my sense from things that I've heard along the way is that this is material that's being pushed both from the left and from the right. Certainly a lot of the initial reporting on many of these things came from a very left-leaning blog, Blue Nation Review, and then was picked up from there, in addition to the work done by Politico, by the Associated Press, by the Washington Post, and Chicago Sun-Times. And a lot of it, you could sense as things went on that more and more people were getting involved in pushing things that they had heard or been familiar with over time. They saw blood in the water, so to speak, and decided to join in.
Well, and you mentioned from the left and the right, but I mean, Congressman Schock does have enemies on the right. He's, you know, come out in favor of this comprehensive immigration plan that's sort of, you know, he's on the wrong side of what is a threshold issue for a lot of conservatives. You know, although he's not by any stretch a liberal, there are people on multiple areas of the political spectrum who, you know, are not sad to see him go.
Club for Growth effectively called for a primary challenger against him a couple of years ago and had been at war with him ever since.
And wasn't he also kind of the victim of some negative ads during a non-election season, essentially?
Correct, and his former chief of staff had suggested at the time that those were tied to then candidate Bruce Rauner and his operation, though nothing was ever definitively proven there.
Well, because why though? Because right? Because Schock was actually in the conversation, as they say, whoever they are having these conversations. He was in the conversation as potentially a candidate for governor at some point.
Correct. Yeah, and very abruptly dropped out there.
Although I would add, this opposition research goes on all the time, and kind of the moral of the story is you might say as a target, hey, that's not fair. You're going after me tooth and nail because you're opposed to me. I'm on the wrong side of this issue. But on the other hand, if there's nothing there for the opposition research to find, so what?
This is very much
those people didn't create those Instagram photos. Those people, in quotes, didn't jimmy up the mileage reimbursement sheets. You know, if you leave yourself open to it, when you're in public office, somebody's going to jump on it. And I say that as a reporter who back in the day would get tips. If you were to go and check so-and-so's travel vouchers, you'd be really surprised. Now, the comptroller's office has probably millions of travel vouchers, and nobody's going to pour over every one of those looking for the anomalies. But if somebody points you in the right direction, you go and look, and you do a story on it.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting here is that we heard the congressman say, and I don't know if you can speak to this, Chris, but, you know, I wonder how many elected officials could withstand the amount of scrutiny that has fallen on Congressman Schock in the past few weeks. I'm sure he's not the only one, out of 535 members of Congress, that might have juiced mileage logs at some point.
Well, Congressman Jesse Jackson couldn't withstand it.
Right, and that's absolutely a valid point, that it's difficult to find somebody who is completely pure, but it's those who certainly take it to excess and become flamboyant about it and flaunt it in front of the voters that it is more easy to note those things, and where you're more likely to find people who are willing to point it out anonymously or not and have people look into it. Schock was by all accounts living large, at least in his social media profile, and Amanda had a good point earlier that also creates very little sympathy for people, because very few of us can jet off for the day for a dinner with the Prince of Wales Foundation and meet Prince Charles and receive a commemorative plate from that was not reported on his records, though Politico found out about it. Very few of us can take vacations to the Andes or take a week or 10 days to go with a charitable group paying all of our expenses to travel to India or anything of that nature, and that does not create a sympathetic figure that people are inclined to either defend or say that we don't need to look into any of that. It when there's smoke like that and people are urged to look into it, often they find the fire behind it.
You know, Chris, I think that's that's a great point you raise about jetting off to the Andes or meeting the Prince of Wales. And something some of the things I've read and been thinking about this week is you have to raise so much money to be in Congress these days, especially, federal office. And Schock, by all accounts, was a very good fundraiser. He was prolific. It's one of the things he was best known for, as opposed to, say, passing legislation. Not that much of any legislation passes in D.C. these days, but he was a great fundraiser. And you wonder if you are spending all your time with very rich people and you see their lifestyle and you're asking them for money, does it begin to affect how you think of the lifestyle you should be living? Especially, Chris, you, Amanda, and I all started in the Capitol the exact same year that then State Representative Schock did back in 2005. I mean, this has been his whole adult life since college has been in politics. And you wonder what role that plays in affecting his thinking over time.
Well, and I think also just unchecked ambition is part of it. I think that, it is impressive to think about an 18-year-old winning election to school board in Peoria and rising to its presidency. And, he wasn't from one of these political dynasties and appointed after his father retired to a seat in the Illinois House. I mean, he won a seat in the Illinois House from over an incumbent Democrat, and it wasn't expected to happen. So he's clearly a very hard worker and ambitious and accomplished a lot until now. And so I think it brings into a lot of questions of just unchecked ambition and what to do about, as you said, Brian, in this age of needing always to raise more money and those pressures. And there are just some basics, that it seems like he didn't cover. I mean, get a bookkeeper. This stuff was, again, it's so easy, and so much of it is what Aaron Schock has brought on. He brought on himself. He was not one of the figures that, you look back to the Rod Blagojevich scandals and some of the top aides that, were hired and maybe didn't know what to do in some of these tough situations. This isn't one of those. I mean, this was very much a self-created mess.
And part of it is, I think, it's just it suggests to me that there's kind of a lack of common sense there in doing this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it struck me, too, when Schock announced 2 weeks ago that he was bringing in new bookkeepers to oversee his operation, struck me that he had in front of him all of the time the option to have done this and perhaps even the encouragement to have done it, but but elected not to, and elected to rely on whomever he relied on previously for it, and could have taken the safeguards. They, just as members receive ethics training routinely, and in fact, he's on record as having said that new members, the entirety of their first day is devoted to teaching them about ethics training and walking them through the process of what they should be doing. So not only is this a self-created situation, it's a situation where members are warned what they need to watch out for, and to blow past it despite that is...
And as a prodigious fundraiser, again, he had the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, in his campaign, what have you, it's not as if this was a question of I didn't have the resources had I only known. Clearly, you have the resources to jet set to India, England, wherever, across
and
the world, the veil. Yeah.
Nor is it as though he lives in a competitive district. The 18th is and has been for decades a safe Republican district, so all of the money he was raising was effectively going to other candidates through his campaign, through his leadership PAC, through his ability to go out and raise funds for them. So the money was available to have better oversight.
You're listening to State Week. The topic this week is the resignation of Aaron Schock. Our panel, Charlie Wheeler, Amanda Vinicky, Brian Mackey, and the Peoria Journal-Star's Chris Kergard. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. You mentioned it's a safe district, and it's actually a district that has had some well-respected Republicans that have held it over the years. Bob Michael for a long, long time, and then Ray LaHood prior to that. It was a big district, stretched Peoria, Normal, Lincoln, Springfield, Jacksonville, Quincy, and Macomb. I mean, quite a vast area, 19 counties, I think. How was he in terms of serving the district?
And that's very interesting because we took a look at that as the scandal began to grow, trying to answer the fundamental question of, is he doing the basics that one expects of a congressman? Is he showing up to vote in Washington, D.C., and is he attending to matters in his district? We compared his schedules to those of two other downstate members with similarly large districts, Sherry Bustos, whose district incorporates Peoria, runs through the Quad Cities and all the way up to Rockford, sort of forming a lopsided C, and Adam Kinzinger, whose district runs from Rockford all the way southeast to the Indiana border, forming rather a C on its side. And Schock's activity over the last two August recess periods, which we picked as an appropriate sample where members are back in their district more often than they're in D.C., this last year, Schock spent considerably more time campaigning and only held some 20-some individual events within the district, and spent a fair amount of time outside on campaign business, plus a foreign trip to India. And Representative Bustos, who's newer to Congress by 2 years, 4 years, I'm sorry, spent considerably more time within the district this last time out. Now, you go back to the year before that, in 2013, Schock spent very little time campaigning in a non-election year, spent considerably more time in the district, and in 2013, held a series of 8 to 10 open public meetings at locations throughout the district, from Bloomington all the way out to Macomb, where people could come, open forum, no special ability to get in by anybody or not, and answered questions from them, which is something that we did not see from him over this last year. If you look over the last year or so also, it appears as though more of his travel picked up, both on the campaign side and in terms of him taking more vacations.
Now, Governor Bruce Rauner will, in the near future, be setting an election date sometime in the next 4 months to fill that vacancy. Tell us about the political activity you're seeing in terms of who is going to run for this seat.
Well, certainly Darren LaHood, one of the sons of former Congressman Ray LaHood, who held the seat for 14 years, then went on to serve as President Obama's Secretary of Transportation. Darren LaHood has entered the race and is certainly considered one of the front runners at this point. He's got very good name recognition, though I would point out that in the one tough race that now State Senator LaHood has had when he tried to run for state's attorney in Peoria, having been a prosecutor for a decade beforehand, when he tried to run for state's attorney in Peoria, he actually lost a very contested race to an incumbent Democrat, Kevin Lyons, who's now been named to the circuit bench. Others considering a race include State Representative Mike Yunus, who did win a very difficult race in a democratically drawn district against now late Representative Mike Smith. Ed Brady out of Bloomington is also considering a run, and we continue to hear, though I have not spoken to anyone in her operation personally, we continue to hear that Jill Tracy from Quincy, who ran for lieutenant governor in the Republican primary last year, is considering making a run. For my money, given where the population centers of the district are, LaHood and Yunus really are the ones that, if they're in the race, are the ones who could have the most contentious primary.
And while the district has changed a couple of times, probably three times since then, the last time I remember a close election in the 18th Congressional District was 1982, and we know what kind of economic times were going on in the Peoria area then, and Bob Michael still held on to win that.
Correct, although it's interesting because Bob Michael had a couple of scares, that one and an earlier one, during which some of the contention was that he was too dazzled by his leadership position and was not paying attention to the district. And if you look particularly through the 80s after that close race and after a prior one, the congressman spent more time paying attention to his district and learned the lessons of not being dazzled by the glitz and glamour of Washington, D.C.
In the 30 seconds to a minute we have remaining, Chris Carrigard, anything else you want to throw in or add in or just comment on regarding the events?
The other thing that is of interest with this special election coming up and certainly will be an issue there is this. My understanding is that the new representative who's elected will end up taking over Congressman Schock's office space as well. So that new representative will have a very early decision to make. Do you repaint the office at taxpayer expense or not?
That's our time for this edition of State Week. Thanks to Chris Carrigard of the Peoria Journal-Star. And you can get a podcast of this show by going to WUIS.org, or you can search it out on iTunes. Search for State Week in Review, and you might have more luck if you're searching at iTunes U. Production assistance for our program today provided by the Jack of All Trades, Brian Mackey. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.